from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
A long time ago in the New England area, there was something called rescue societies. This was back before New England had something called Patriots. Back before that, they had rescue societies, which existed to rescue boats and people who were in trouble in the Atlantic Ocean. When a distress call came in, they would race out, risking their own lives to save the lives of people whose lives were in jeopardy. Almost all those people who joined the rescue societies were boaters, and many were people who had been rescued themselves. After being rescued, they decided and they wanted to help someone out in the same way that they were helped. And so they would go out and they would rescue those people, or sometimes they would fail. And then after this rescue attempt, they would come back to their building worn out and they would share a meal together. But over time, some of the people in the rescue societies got tired of rescuing people. It wasn't easy. But they didn't want to leave the rescue society because they loved the other people and they were bonded with them, and the meals they shared were so special. And so these rescue societies became yacht clubs. Do you know what a yacht club is? Well, there's a marina where you keep your boat. There's a luxurious clubhouse with a restaurant and cafe and a bar. They usually have their own beach for their members to lay out on and swim, and often have a swimming pool. Some offer their members fun sailboat races to engage in. And some of the yacht clubs that exist today around New England used to be rescue societies. People who started out dedicated to rescuing people who were perishing abandoned that mission and became devoted to their own comfort, to having their own needs met, to living in luxury. And that transition they made is a danger we face today. It's what can keep us from having maximum impact. Well, last week we started this new series called Maximum Impact. In this series, we're talking about who we are as a church and about you. Like, how do you fit into all this? What's your part? And I'm so glad you're with us today. In fact, I'd love to know that you're here. And so the cool thing is we have people who join us from all over the country. Why don't you put in the comments just your name and where you're watching from so we can say hi to you. So how can you make maximum impact with your life? And who are we as a church? Well, we are a rescue society. We started this church to rescue people who were perishing. That's actually why Jesus came. He said in the Bible book called Mark chapter 2, verse 17, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. I didn't come to invite good people to be my followers. I came to invite sinners." Isn't that amazing? There's God's heart for you. Jesus says, the reason I came is for sinners, to invite sinful people to follow me out of sin and into real life. And to be clear, when Jesus says sinners, he's talking about me. This is not a, you're a sinner. This is, man, we are all sinners. At our church, we say, no perfect people allowed. Jesus called people who are far from God, he called them lost. Like, the idea is like they're God's kids, but they've gotten separated from, they've gotten lost from their heavenly Father. And listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 17. He said, I have come to seek and save the lost. And he said in what's become a very famous verse of the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So Jesus was sent by God in love to sinful people, to lost people, so he could save them so they wouldn't perish. Like that was his mission. That's why he came. That's why he was sent. And then look what Jesus says to us in John chapter 20, verse 21. He says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So Jesus gave us his mission. And we started Verve 10 years ago with that mission. We came to Las Vegas, established this church, not to invite healthy people, good people, but to invite sinners like me and you to experience the love of God and to follow Jesus. Not to gather people from other churches, but to reach the nuns and the dunce. The nuns, meaning not nuns, no, but meaning nuns, like N-O-N-E, nuns, like people whose experience in church is none. The nuns and the duns, people with experience in church, but who were like, man, I am done with church. In fact, we were so committed to this mission, we said, you know, there are other good churches in Las Vegas, and those good churches are reaching some people who don't believe in Jesus, so let's focus on reaching the people who even the good churches aren't reaching. We realized to reach people who aren't being reached, you have to do things that aren't being done. And so, like we've done some things that might be considered a little controversial. We called ourselves Church for People Who Don't Like Church. We did Facebook ads and billboards and put out cards that said, church minus religious crap equals Verve. We put up billboards and did a series called God Gives a Damn. We had women go and give out cupcakes in to strippers in strip clubs. And we've started churches in India in the middle of brothel districts. We've said that we will do anything short of sin to reach people who are far from God. That's who we are. We will do anything short of sin to reach people who are far from God. And it's worked. God has blessed what we've done. We've seen strippers like take off their old lives and find new life in Christ. We've seen a pimp give his life to Jesus and become a pastor. We've seen atheists find faith in God. Gang members become church members. Drug addicts become addicted to the love of God. That's who we are. That's our mission, to go out in love, to share the good news of God's love, to seek and save the lost. And we will do anything short of sin to reach people who are far from God. What's really fun is that for the first 10 years, that was pretty much just happening here in Las Vegas. But now, because of a global pandemic, God has opened the door. He has taken the lid off, and we are now reaching, with God's love, through online church, people all over the country. I have people in my Verve group from Indiana and Arizona. There's a guy in Houston named Gary. Someone sent him a video from Verve to watch, and he has since become a part of our church. There's a lady named Patty in Wisconsin. Her friend from Verve, Karina, invited her to attend our online service. She's become a part of our church. In fact, here's a message that I got from Patty. She gave me permission to share this with you. She wrote me, "Dear Pastor Vince, I have had a long, painful 6 years trying to find the child and woman that I am today. From abuse as a child to the caregiving of my husband for 5 years and then his death at home. 6 months before my husband passed, I lost my dad. But then God had a plan. I had no real relationship with God. Just before my husband died, Do you know in 4 years, that's the first time I said he died? God brought Karina back into my life. Then a few years later, I finally had to move because the place I lived held too many memories. And with my husband passing away at home, it was time for me to start to heal. I moved closer to my son. I also felt the need, the real need to have Jesus back in my life. And then Karina told me about Verve. Since that first online service I watched, I have been filled with God's presence ever since. The real kicker was the Sunday you gave your testimony. I knew that I was broken and had been for a long time. After the service, I talked to you and you gave me the scripture to read. That day, Jesus filled me, healed me, and came back into my life like never before. I have now joined groups, started my new one yesterday with Lauren. I start my day out in prayer and reading his word. Today I was reading James chapters 3 and 4. I just wanted to say thank you, Patty. Wow. And how did that happen? Through Karina, right? Patty had a friend in Verve, from Verve, who invited her. See, all this happens because of people in Verve, you, right? Inviting people outside of Verve, sharing videos, sharing our services, hitting share on the button. And we can all do that. It's like we have a chance to be digital missionaries. It's so awesome. God has given us a new way to live out our mission. And we're like, yes, God, because we will do anything short of sin to reach people who are far from God. We have a mission. You know, it's interesting. So many people feel like their lives are so ordinary and kind of boring, right? We feel bored. Bored. We're bored. Bored. We are bored. And we wonder, like, what is God's will for my life? What is his plan for my life? Is this it or am I missing it? Yeah, you're missing it. And that's actually good news because it means there is so much more for you. God's will is for you to embrace the mission he's given you, and that fills your life with purpose. What does God want? Look what he tells us in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, God, our Savior, wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. That's God's will. That's God's plan. That's what God wants. What does God want? Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's what God wants. That's God's will for your life, his plan. It's for you to embrace the mission he's given you, to go out in love, to share the good news of God's love, to seek and save the lost, to do anything short of sin, to reach people who are far from God. And if you embrace God's will for your life, his purpose for you, your mission, you won't wonder anymore. You won't wonder if your life matters. You'll know it does. Like you are a part of the most important thing in the world. You will not feel ordinary anymore. You might feel a bit scared, overwhelmed. You might freak out a little, but you won't feel ordinary and you won't be bored. So, have you embraced God's will for your life? How passionate and committed are you to his mission? In this series, something I want to do is ask you to rate yourself on what we're talking about that day. You don't need to tell anyone else. This is just between you and God. But just to kind of evaluate where you're at. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. So 1, in this case, would be you're pretty apathetic about people who are far from God finding God's love. 10, you're totally passionate about it. So just to kind of help you do this, like if you're if you're like a 7 or an 8 or a 9, here's what I think would be true of you, okay? You find ways to share your faith with people. You are praying passionately for people who are far from God by name. You share our online services with your friends. You give financially. Like when you give, it's not out of a sense of obligation, like, I gotta give. It's with a sense of excitement, like, I get to do this. I get to obey the God who's called me to be generous, and I know that everything I give goes to the mission. It's all helping people find faith in Jesus and come into a relationship with God and go to heaven. And so, like, I love this. That's why so many people at Verve have the mindset not of how much do I have to give, but how much can I give? How can I maximize my eternal impact with my money? That's why people give online, and so many set up recurring gifts, which you can do at vivalaverve.org/donate. You go to our website. There's just a real simple, safe way that you can set up a recurring gift, and it creates this generosity habit in your life. So that's kind of a picture of someone who might be like a 7, 8, or 9, but maybe you realize that's not you. Maybe you don't pray much for people who don't know Jesus. Maybe you've never shared your story, or maybe you've tried to talk about your faith, but you've never led anyone to faith. Maybe it's been a while since you've thought about inviting people to church. You don't share our online content. How do we get our number to go up? Like, whatever the number is, we don't want to be content. We want to move it up. How do we move our number up? Well, I want to show you a story in the Bible from the book of Acts. It's in chapter 4, and I want to show you 3 ideas on how to move that number up. Story's about Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' original followers. When Jesus was arrested and crucified, Peter was afraid, so he went into hiding. He would not say a word about Jesus. Total fear. But then Jesus rose from the dead, and he appeared to Peter. Like Peter knew Jesus had risen, that it had really happened. By the way, just like we can know, because there's so much evidence for the resurrection, we can know it really happened. And knowing that changed everything for Peter. In fact, we see him in the book of Acts, which is like a history book of the early church. We see him preaching about Jesus in the middle of cities with crowds of thousands of people listening, which is pretty amazing because he wasn't allowed to do that. He could get killed for it, and ultimately, he did get killed for it. In fact, after one of those times, he and his buddy John, another follower of Jesus, get called in by the authorities. So that's where we'll pick up the story in Acts chapter 4. They brought in the 2 disciples, John and Peter, and demanded, "By what power or in whose name have you done this?" Peter's answer, "By the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene." Jesus was from a town called Nazareth. "The man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead." He says, "There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." Man, Peter is not afraid anymore. In fact, what happens next is the authorities talk amongst themselves, and they decide this, verses 17 through 20, "To keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again." So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard." Wow. So here's what I learned from Peter. 3 ideas to get that number up. First one, we speak boldly about what we believe deeply. It's always true. We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. It's always true, right? When you believe something deeply, you speak boldly about it. Like, if you come into town and you ask me, "Hey, where should I go to breakfast in Las Vegas?" I will tell you, "Crepe Expectations. It's so good, you've got to go." If you ask me, "Hey, what baseball team should I root for?" The Dodgers. Like, you have to root for the Dodgers. Hockey team? Are you serious? Go Knights, go. Before Las Vegas, I lived in Virginia Beach for 12 years. Listen, if you ever go to Virginia Beach, I'm going to tell you to go to Why Not Pizza. And if you don't go, I will punch you in your face. I'm not kidding. I'll punch you in your face. Why? because we speak boldly about what we believe deeply. And that's what changed in Peter. And maybe that's what needs to change in us. A deeper belief in Jesus. I mean, do you believe deeply that there is salvation in no one else? God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. What would help you to deepen your faith? Like taking Next Step, this great experience we offer online would definitely help you to deepen your faith. That's getting into a Verve group, maybe reading a book on the evidence for the resurrection. There's a bunch of great books. Listen, whatever it is that will help you to believe more deeply, do it. We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. That's the first thing I learned from this story. Second, we speak boldly about Jesus by spending more time with Jesus. So, this story with Peter. Look what the authorities saw in Peter and John. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see, check this, that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. So you remember I said how, you know, so often we worry that we're just so ordinary. Peter and John were ordinary. They had been with Jesus, and being with Jesus made them extraordinary, and it made them bold. We need to be with Jesus, not just believe, be with, which, so we can be with Jesus all the time. Like every moment of your day, Jesus is with you, you can be with Jesus. But I think the kind of being with Jesus that really transforms us, that makes us something beyond ordinary, that makes us bold, is quality time with Jesus, focused time. So, like for me, like I get up in the morning and first thing I do basically every single day is I read the Bible. I take 5, 10, maybe 15 minutes to read a chapter or two. I usually read them twice. If you're new to reading the Bible and you're like, I don't know what to read, I don't know where to start, man, use our Bible reading plan, which you can find at vervecatalyst.org. It is super helpful. It gives you a chapter a day to read with some notes and questions. In fact, here's some info for you on Verve Catalyst.
Welcome to my desk and spinny chair corner of my house. This is where I start my mornings. And I start my mornings with the Catalyst reading plan. Here's how easy it is. I open my email and the latest Catalyst post is waiting for me. I open that email, click the link to go directly to the reading for that day. I read over that day's chapter. I reflect on it. I go back to the email and read the explainers that help me get the most out of what today's reading is saying. And then I spend some time talking with God. And that whole process sets a tone for my day, and it can help you set a great tone for your day. It's super easy to sign up. Just go to vervecatalysts.org and enter your email address in the box on the right-hand side of the page. It's that easy.
So I get up and I do the Verve Catalyst plan. I read for 5, 10, 15 minutes, and then I pray for, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 minutes. Nothing fancy. I don't know any special prayer words. I'm just talking to Jesus. I'm spending time with Jesus. I'm like, Jesus, here's what's going on in my life. Here's what I'm worried about. I ask him, what do you want me to do today? Like, what's your agenda for my life? I pray for people. I try to pray for people who are far from God. I pray for opportunities to talk to them about God. How do we get our number up? How do we overcome our fears and engage in our mission? Well, we speak boldly about what we believe deeply. We speak boldly about Jesus by spending more time with Jesus. And then third, ready? We speak boldly about Jesus when we pray for boldness. So I try to pray every day. Maybe you're like me too. I pray every day. What do you pray about? Now, I've noticed it's real easy for me. I'm guessing for probably most of us, for most of our prayers to be about me and me. And then I pray some prayers that are about me and then some about me. They're kind of yacht club prayers. You know, they're comfortable prayers about my life and my comfort. But look what happens after the authorities let Peter and John go. Here's the next verses. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. Okay, so they pray, right? What do they pray about? Well, remember, their lives are literally being threatened because they're talking to people about Jesus. So here's what they pray. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. They're like, God, we might get killed if we're bold. And that's scary, so give us boldness. Like not, so give us safety, protect. No, give us boldness. And if you want to be bold, pray for boldness. I bet that's a prayer God would love for you to pray and would love to answer. This is your mission. This is your purpose. This is God's plan. It's why God still has you here. Instead of like zapping you up to heaven, he left you here on earth so that you could bring people to heaven with you. That's God's dream. And man, I dream of a church full of people who believe that if God's love is for anybody, anywhere, it's for everybody, everywhere. Who can't stop feeling amazed by God's amazing grace, and so they have to share it. And so they go. We go. We go out with a faith-fueled, reckless, raging confidence and a gracious gentleness to share the good news of God's great love. To let people know that no matter what they've done, no matter where they've been, they have never gone beyond the reach of God's grace. My dream is that we would be close to people who are far from God, that we would be known like Jesus was for eating with sinners, that we would never give up on anyone because we know that our God has a particular soft spot for sinners, that we would have no interest in living within the sound of chapel bells because we want to run a rescue mission within a yard of hell. And so we become people who pray for boldness and are willing to do anything short of sin to reach people who are far from God. That's my dream. I think that's a God dream.
This is a God dream.
It's everything.
This is everything.